In this part of our Kingdom and the Covenant study, we're examining the godly character traits that we're to be developing, and we're considering how they are relevant to God's kingdom and our covenant relationship with Him, hence the Kingdom and the Covenant. We've looked at humility, we looked at agape, we looked at anger and brotherly love, and today's topic is endurance and perseverance. There are a couple of key Greek words here that we're going to be looking at today. The first one is the noun hupomone. That refers to an internal strength to withstand hardship or stress with courage. It's translated endurance and perseverance in most cases. We're going to see this also translated other similar ways, but primarily it's endurance and perseverance. Now, in the Greek culture, this was distinct from patience because it refers to it, it's an energetic, it's not really a force, it's an energetic strength, if you will. It's energetic, but it's not necessarily successful, all right? It opposes the things, but it's not necessarily successful. That's endurance and perseverance. In other words, it's kind of like bearing up with pain or difficulties, okay? That doesn't mean that you're necessarily overcoming those things, but you're enduring them or persevering in spite of them. Now, in the New Testament, hupomone is a basic attitude of believers. For example, it's described as an active strength that's based on faith in the Lord's return or anticipation of deliverance from hostility in the world. In any case, hupomone is not passive. It's not passive. It's energetic. It's deliberate. And then there's the verb form, which is hupomeno. That's the verb. And primarily that word means to remain, to stay behind, or to stay in place. You see an example of that in Acts 17:14. It says the brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed, there it is, hupomeno, in Berea. That's the word right there. In other words, they stayed where they were. Now, that's that position of staying where you are has to do with enduring. You're not allowing yourself to be pushed away. You're staying, standing your ground or whatever. So mostly in the New Testament, that word, in most cases, is translated to endure, to stand firm, or to persevere. So those are the two Greek words. Now, these two words appear about 50 times in the New Testament, so it's an important topic. If it appears once in the Bible, it's significant. If it appears multiple times, it's very important. Now, in English, I kind of make a distinction between enduring and persevering. They're very similar in meanings, but they're not exactly synonyms. To endure means to carry on despite hardships, to tolerate or to suffer patiently without yielding. That's enduring in the English word. The English word persevere means to persist or to remain committed to a purpose in the face of obstacles or discouragement. In other words, you're continuing to make progress, you see. Enduring, you can stand your ground, but persevering, to me, at least in the English, implies more than that. You're actually advancing or making progress or overcoming. So in either case, however this word is, these words are translated, either endurance or perseverance, they're more than patience, because patience emphasizes a calmness, a self-control, or the ability to tolerate, endure, tolerate, all right? So those are the words we'll be working with today. Any questions before we get started? Let's get into the study. First of all, let's look at God's endurance and perseverance. Now, I don't know about you, but this may seem strange. This does seem strange to me. Why would God need to endure anything? Or why would God need to persevere? He's God, right?
Right.
We had the same response to, last week, I guess it was, when we talked about God's phileo, brotherly love. Remember that? Well, God's agape, right? Why are we talking about phileo? Well, they're different. Well, we're going to see the same thing here. We're going to see that, well, look at Romans 15:5, for example. It says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. So the word endurance there is hupomone. God has endurance and perseverance, so he's able to give it to us. Now, of course, it's possible for God to give us something he doesn't have, but I want to remind you that, first of all, we were created in God's image and likeness, right? As a result of sin, we are now out of that image and likeness. We've lost a lot of it, but now God is restoring us to that. He's making it like Christ, right? So he's restoring that character trait in us. That is vital. As we're going to see it, it's active in our kingdom activities and also in our covenant relationship with God. So God has endurance. He also has perseverance, so he's able to give it to us. The word sozo, we've looked at several times over the last year or so. We saw that that means that he provides everything we need to protect or deliver us from whatever threatens us. Sozo, all right? We saw that it was it was related to salvation, spiritual deliverance, protection, physical healing, all those types of things. Sozo, deliverance or protection from whatever threatens us. And that includes the ability to endure and persevere. Whatever we need. So God has endurance and perseverance. Now let's consider Jesus' endurance and perseverance. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says that may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Refers first of all to God's agape love. That is agape in the Greek. Now God is the epitome or the personification of agape, right? He is the absolute perfect example of agape. And he expresses perfect agape. But here we also see reference to Jesus Christ's perseverance. And that's the word, Greek noun, hypomene. How did Jesus' interaction with the religious leaders require him to persevere? They fiercely opposed him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Fiercely opposed him. I'm not just talking about threatening for death. No, they fiercely opposed him, even in his teaching. They argued with him. They tried to trap him in what he was saying and so forth. So he had to endure their public confrontations, right? And he had to persevere, continue to make progress despite their opposition, right?
In measured ways, because he wasn't ready for the cross yet.
He submitted himself to what they were going to do because that was the purpose he came, was to give his life for sin, right? So until then, he endured their opposition and persevered against their resistance. Whenever it was time, they didn't kill him. He gave up his life.
Right.
Look at Hebrews 12, starting with verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, as you might guess, the word endured there in both verses is the Greek verb opomeno. He endured the cross, and he endured opposition from people. Do you see that? There's another key, very significant word there. It says scorning the shame of the cross. The word scorning there is a Greek verb kataphroneo, which means that I'm not trying to impress you with my ability to speak Greek, because I don't speak Greek, okay? I'm trying to get you the accurate, a relatively accurate pronunciation of the words, all right? Mm-hmm. Please don't be impressed. It's not worth it. The word scorning here, scorning, see, I can't even say it in English, right? The word scorning here, from the Greek word, means that he despised the shame that he endured as if it had no value. That's the key. He didn't despise it because of what it was doing to him. He despised it as if it had no value. That's what that Greek word means. Compared to what he was accomplishing for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and scorned its shame. In other words, it was like he was saying, this means nothing to me compared to what I'm accomplishing. That's exactly what this expresses. This pain, this shame, all that I'm experiencing here, is nothing compared to what I'm accomplishing. I don't even consider it worthy of my consideration. That kind of scorn, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what that word means. That's kind of off topic here, but I thought it was very significant because it was related to what we're talking about here. Any questions or comments so far about God or Jesus expressing endurance and perseverance? Okay, let's talk about ours. Look at Luke 8:15. This is part of a parable that Jesus taught, and you'll recognize it. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, hello, there's that word, persevering, produce a crop. That's the Greek noun, hypomene. I want to point out to you, as if you hadn't noticed, that decay is dominant in the world system and in the dark kingdom. Things deteriorate, right? They wear down, they run out. It's natural for things to deteriorate because that's the nature of this system in its fallen state. So we must persevere to produce the desired results because we're working against the opposing force. The opposing force is decay or deterioration. It's called entropy. we're working against that to make progress against the opposing force. To produce a crop, to use the analogy here. Look at Luke 11:9. Jesus is speaking here, and he's describing the theme of perseverance, although it doesn't use the Greek words we're looking at, all right? But he's talking about the same thing. Luke 11:9. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now the words ask, seek, and knock are all in the Greek present imperative. In other words, it's like saying, ask, but keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Now, he doesn't tell us to do this because we have to get God's attention or because we have to persuade God to do what we're asking. That's not the point here. Rather, God uses our struggle and difficulties to strengthen us. Mm-hmm. You see that?
Yeah.
It's like flexing a muscle, right? The way you build up a muscle is to work it, to push it beyond its current limits, right? Mm-hmm. So if we refuse to persevere, we fail to grow. Mm-hmm. We begin to stagnate or deteriorate. So this principle of perseverance applies to every aspect of life. The physical life, psychological, spiritual, including our interaction with people, not just God. In fact, if you look at this parable here, it's not just talking about our relationship with God, asking God, seeking God, knocking for God to answer. This is just a general principle. It applies to our interaction with people as well. Questions or comments before we move on? Okay. Look at Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. Now again, this verse doesn't use the key Greek words we're looking at here, but it describes perseverance. We should continue praying and not give up, right? The Greek verb that's translated give up means to become discouraged or disheartened. So how does this relate to perseverance? We should always pray and not give up. How does that relate to perseverance?
Not give up, right? You just keep on.
When you persevere, you're not giving up, right?
Right. You're not giving up.
Mm-hmm. I want you to notice this revolves our willingness, our willful choices.
Yeah.
You see, perseverance is relevant to your will because it influences your decision to stay where you are or do what you're doing until you're finished. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. And I can assure you, if you haven't noticed, it doesn't come naturally. You have to decide to do it and continue to decide to do it, to persevere. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:7. It says that love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Surprise, there's that word perseveres again. Hopomeno. All right, now think about it for a moment here. Love focuses on the well-being and benefit of the other person, right? Agape? Mm-hmm. About the well-being and benefit of the other person. So why does love persevere? If love focuses on the well-being and benefit of the other person, why does love persevere?
It all depends on that person and where they're at, basically.
Okay.
Because you're willing to give them that love, but they don't accept it. So you just have to continue. Mm-hmm. Doing what you're doing.
If they don't respond to your right. expression of love, does that justify you and stop expressing your love to them?
No.
Not a bit, right? No. Because it's a godly character trait which continues to express itself. Agape, right? Or phileo, the brotherly love. Those are godly traits that continue to express themselves regardless of how other people respond. In fact, as we pointed out in agape, they don't even have to like you for you to love them.
Right.
Right? For you to give of yourself for their good, for their benefit. They don't even have to acknowledge you exist, much less like you. Mm-hmm. So how their response really does not determine what you do.
Right.
Because you express godly character regardless of how other people respond to it. Also, love persevering. Does the person you love encounter the similar types of opposition and persecution and harassment that you do? Are they receiving things from the dark kingdom, from Satan, the demonic realm, and so forth?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you have to persevere for their benefit just as you need to persevere for your own?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So love perseveres, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'm willing to expend myself for that person's benefit and good.
Yes.
Whatever the case, whatever the situation, I'm willing to expend myself, agapeo. I'm willing to do that for their benefit. And my love motivates me to do that. So love perseveres. How does this relate to our relationship with God? Perseverance. How does perseverance relate to our relationship with God?
God perseveres. He continually loves us no matter what we do.
He continually loves us. He puts up, endures with our nonsense, but he perseveres, right?
Right.
All right? Does it work the other way around as well?
Yep.
How does our perseverance or endurance affect our relationship with God?
Trust.
Trust?
Trust. Continuing to trust when things are not quite the way you would like them to be.
When it seems like God's not doing what he said he would do.
Yeah.
When it seems like what he said is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like what he said, this is the way things work. It doesn't seem to be working in your case. Right? You trust in him.
Right.
I persevere in doing this to please him because I trust him in his nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Two other words come to mind, though.
Mm-hmm.
Frame of mind.
That's three words.
And attitude.
Attitude. Mm-hmm.
That to me is the most important. Because if you have an attitude of perseverance, you're going to do it. If you don't have that attitude,
right,
you're not.
Right.
So that's why I sort of interchange those two words.
Mm-hmm. Your attitude or frame of mind really is expression or of your perseverance.
It'll be your action.
Right. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? The phrase, the opening words there, endure hardship, is upomeno.
Mm-hmm.
Endure hardship. And the word discipline is one we looked at a few weeks ago, is a Greek noun that primarily relates to training children to conform to acceptable attitudes and behavior. It's what they used to call rearing a child. You're bringing them up, right? You're teaching them how to conform, teaching them to conform to acceptable standards. Now, we don't do that in this family, all right? That's not appropriate. You should treat people, etc. In other words, we're training them to conform to a particular standard. That's what that word discipline literally means. Has to do with raising young children, teaching them the basics of life. That may include punishment, but the emphasis is teaching them acceptable ways. That same word, discipline, applies to God's treatment of us. In case you haven't thought about it, compared to God, we are very young, immature people. Yeah. Age has nothing to do with that. So we need to be taught the basics as well, don't we? Yes, we do. And we need to be aware of that and be willing to be taught. So, we need to endure hardship as discipline from God. Now, does that mean that God afflicts us with hardship?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
No.
No. In fact, I would suggest that God does not afflict us with hardship at this phase. Now, he's going to afflict the world with hardship later when he brings his anger against them. But to his children? No.
But at the same time, he may do that because he loves us.
Well, he would allow us to experience the consequences of our foolishness, right?
Right.
Experience the natural consequences. And he does that because he loves us and says, look, this is what happens when you continue to behave that way.
Mm-hmm.
So come on, change. Mm-hmm. So it's not that God is punishing us in the sense of physical punishment we think of children. Rather, he allows us to experience the consequences of our choices so that we will come in line with his standards. He also allows us to experience the enemy's attacks and persecution, harassment, and opposition. He says, look, this is what you and I are up against. And this will help you grow up. I want you to become like me so you can handle this like I do.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
He's allowing these things. He's allowing these experiences, the consequences of our choices and so forth, to happen to us so they will motivate us to become more like him. So endure discipline as if it were discipline from the Lord. The point is that we choose to endure because we trust God. All right, look at 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 20. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, this is packed, but let me just focus on a particular point here. In verse 20, if you suffer for good and you endure it, the word endure is upomeno. Now, according to verse 21, to what were we called?
Suffering.
Suffering? Suffering for what? For our own stupidity, the things we do foolishly? We suffer for doing good, right? If we suffer for doing good and endure it,
right,
that is commendable for God. If we do good by whose standard? Not necessarily our own standard, right? Not necessarily.
You don't want to do the world standard, you want to do God's standard.
Exactly. Yep, so we're to be transforming our minds, changing the way we think to conform to God's standards. So do we have to endure opposition, attacks, persecution from people for doing what God considers good?
Yeah.
Definitely, right?
Yeah.
And why is that, according to verse 21?
An example.
Jesus set an example for us, right? Jesus, our elder brother, endured such things for our benefit. He scorned the shame of the cross because of what was set before him, the joy of anticipating what was about to happen as a result of his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. So he suffered for our benefit, and he is our prototokos. He is our firstborn of many, the prototype for us. He's the example that we're to follow. He endured suffering for our good. So enduring suffering for the sake of God's kingdom not only purifies and strengthens us, listen carefully, it actually justifies God's judgment against the evil that caused us to suffer.
Say that again, Larry.
Enduring suffering for the sake of God's kingdom not only purifies and strengthens us, it benefits us, it also justifies God's judgment against the evil that caused us to suffer. Dad's on our side.
Right.
He stands up for us.
Amen.
He responds to what affects us, right?
Right.
The Lord says vengeance is his.
Exactly. So we're not to seek vengeance on our own.
Right.
We're not to defend ourselves and justify ourselves before others. No, let him take care of it. He can do a much better job than we can, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
This is not just about us, okay? This is part of our role as ambassadors of God's kingdom. To suffer for doing good. And then God will respond to those who oppose us, abuse us, and so forth, because we're doing kingdom business.
Yeah.
Okay? Any questions or comments about the nature of our endurance and perseverance, what we've seen so far?
We don't take the position of victim.
Yeah. We don't take the position of victim as believers.
We do it quite often.
No.
Yes, we do.
Well, because we still think like the world. That's why.
Yeah, right.
That's the issue. It may be true, but that cannot be our attitude.
No. That's
yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
Is that we're not trying to win the victory. It's already been won. We're trying to experience or express the victory.
Okay.
We are working from the position of victory, not struggling to gain victory. Again, the victory's already been won.
Amen.
We don't have to defeat the enemy.
Right.
We are to enforce the victory. Let's consider the benefits of endurance and perseverance. Starting with Matthew 10:22. All men will hate you because of me. Now, there's a happy thought.
Yes.
But it's true.
Mm-hmm.
All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be what?
Saved.
That's the word sozo. Saved. Protected, delivered from whatever threatens you. This includes salvation, but it also means being saved, protected, or delivered from oppression, opposition, resistance, that kind of thing. We see a similar statement here from he who stands firm to the end will be saved. We see exactly the same statement in Matthew 24. Jesus here is making it in Matthew 24 in the context of the end times, the events. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, in both verses there, both passages, the phrase stand firm is the Greek verb upomeno. So, according to these verses, what's the benefit of standing firm to the end?
We'll be saved.
We'll be protected or delivered from whatever threatens us. And notice in this case that's dependent on us standing firm to the end. Do you see that? It says the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. It doesn't say I'm going to save all of you regardless. But we're not talking universalism here.
Right.
That raises another question, though. He who stands firm to the end. What is the end in these verses?
Separation from this body.
Yeah. Separation from the end of physical life?
Right.
One of the first responses I often hear to that kind of a question is that he who endures to the end will be saved, referring to the end of time. Well, I can see what they're getting at there, and there's an element of truth to that. But more broadly, that indicates that those who endure to the Lord's second coming will be saved. That's the end of the world system, the end of time, the end of the system as we know it now. But that would exclude every believer who's ever been saved in the past, right? So I don't think that's an accurate interpretation, or application rather. I think this means, primarily it means the end as the completion of God's will for the person. Which may include the end of time for some of us, but it may also refer to the end of whatever is coming against us. If you are faced with a particular opposition right now over a situation, okay, there's something going on in your family, and you're standing against it spiritually, using your spiritual authority to counter what's happening, you see happening in your family, you're going to persevere until it stops, right? That's the end of whatever it is that you're coming against. Mm-hmm. It could apply in that situation too, I think. Mm-hmm. Any other observations on this particular statement here?
Because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold.
Right. The love of most will grow cold. Now, who has the love in that situation? We're talking about the end times, the culmination of the end times. The two kingdoms are both rising against each other. We're seeing greater evidence of the conflict between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And things are going to increase steadily, and all men will hate you. And the love of most will grow cold. Okay, who is the most it's referring to there? The love of most will grow cold.
The church.
The church. It's not talking about the unbelievers. Because the word love there is agape, and they don't have it. So that particular verse there, Jim brought to our attention here, that particular verse is talking about the love of the believers growing cold. Different topic, but that's a good point. We need to see that because it was raised in these passages here. All right, 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, there's a word, hupomeno, if we endure, we will also do what? Reign with him. So that's the benefit of enduring, right? If we endure in life, we will reign with him in eternity. In fact, actually, we will reign with him in life as well, because we're beginning now. If we endure, we will also reign with him. It's true in the future, after the Lord returns, and we reign with him in government, but it's also true with us now. Do we have spiritual authority? Has Jesus restored or given us spiritual authority? Certainly he has. Is it just for us to use to make our lives better? No. It's to be actively engaged in kingdom business, right?
Right.
Is God reigning now? Yeah.
Yes,
he is. It's just not openly obvious in our world system now, right?
Right.
It'll be obvious later, but he is reigning now. It is impossible for anyone or any being to violate God's principles without consequences. That's reigning. What he says goes. That is reigning. And when we speak the word of God, when we speak the authority he gave us to accomplish or to enforce what he has said or what he stands for, we are reigning with him. Because we are controlling, influencing the situation that is opposing God's kingdom. So we reign in life. It's not just future. It'll be a greater expression in the future because we will officially be part of his kingdom, the governing class, if you will. It's not a scriptural term, but you know, it's that kind of thing. Right now, we're just Christians, so to speak. So we can begin reigning now. In fact, we should be learning to reign now, learning the principles now. Mm-hmm. Look at 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, that is, all kinds of trials, have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, these come so that your faith may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this passage doesn't use our Greek words we're looking at today, but it's relevant. It's talking about the same kind of thing. What do we see here as the benefits? Are the benefits of enduring grief and trials?
Muscles.
Well, look at verse 7. What does verse 7 tell us?
Yeah. So we mature, basically.
We mature, yes. It proves that our faith is genuine. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yes.
Now, does God need to be convinced that our faith is genuine?
No.
No, he knows, right?
Yes.
Who does it need to be convinced? We do. So, enduring all kinds of trials proves that our faith is genuine to ourselves and to others. But it also results in praise, glory, and honor. For whom? Well, honor, all glory and honor and praise goes to him, right?
Right.
But who else might that apply to? Us?
Us,
maybe. Us, believers, the church? But what it's talking about here is if instead we perform as God intends, serve his kingdom and so forth with his attributes and so on, prove our faith genuine, it results in praise. Who will praise us for having proven our faith genuine?
God.
God will, right? Will he glory? Will he give us glory?
Yes, he will.
Increasing with ever-increasing glory right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Praise and glory and honor. Will he honor us?
Right.
Yes. Come sit with me and reign with me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I put you in charge of this region, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we think of praise and honor and glory as being to God. That's true, but we need to realize it doesn't specifically state that. And it also applies to us. If you look at other scriptures, you'll see that we will receive praise from him. We will have increasing glory, and we will be positioned in places of honor.
Because we are part of his family.
Because we're part of his family, yes. It's a family inheritance, if you would. It's part of being a family culture, rather, benefit. Look at James 1, starting with verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How can you possibly do that? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That's a word, upomene. Perseverance, upomene, must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So what benefit do we see here for persevering? Make us mature and complete. That is filling in the gaps. Helping us develop the things we are lacking and need to have. Making us mature and complete. And Revelation 3:10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Endure patiently, that's the noun, upomene. So what benefit do we see here for enduring or persevering? He'll keep us from something.
Trial.
What trial in particular? We talk about, referred to it as the bowls of wrath, right?
Mm-hmm.
God's judgment. Because we patiently endure devil's anger against us in the form of opposition and attacks, God will keep us from experiencing his anger on the world system in the form of his anger or wrath. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, he will keep us from the hour of trial that's coming on the earth dwellers. By the way, you're not an earth dweller. Your citizenship has changed. Your citizenship has changed. You are no longer an earth dweller.
Right.
So we experience the kingdom benefits by aggressively using kingdom authority and resources to forcefully overthrow opposition and destroy obstacles, which requires endurance and perseverance. Any questions or comments about the benefits of endurance and perseverance? Let's talk now about how to develop endurance and perseverance. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 state that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, along with great and precious promises. And then verse 5 starts off, for this very reason, or in other words, therefore, because God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, along with great and precious promises, therefore, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, there's the word, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Make every effort to add perseverance. And the word perseverance is the noun hupomone. All right, so the question becomes, how high a priority should be developing endurance and perseverance be to us? How important should it be for us to develop?
It should be a priority.
A priority, right? It should be a priority. All right, so if that's a priority, how can we develop it? Well, look at Romans 5:3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know. There it is again, just like James 1. Rejoice in our sufferings because we know that what suffering produces what?
Perseverance,
hupomone. So, what can we choose to do and why, according to this verse? We also do what in our sufferings?
Rejoice.
That's a choice, is it not?
Right.
Well, once again, persevering is a choice. So is rejoicing. Do you feel like rejoicing when you're suffering?
No.
We wouldn't call it suffering if we did, right? We call it pleasure. Right? So rejoicing in suffering is not a natural human response, is it?
No.
But is that not to be our response? Certainly.
Yeah.
Because we know something very important. For one thing, it produces perseverance. Look at Colossians 1:11. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, not your own strength, but His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And the word endurance is the noun hupomone. So, according to this verse, what is the source of our endurance?
Him,
right. He is. Endurance is an ability that God gives us. Therefore, it's something all of us can do. Now, maybe it comes more naturally to some of us than others. But the only reason we can endure appropriately is because God enables us to. So what have we talked about so far today that authorizes God to give it to us? Our choice. He enables us to. That's an expression of His grace, yes. His grace motivates Him to give us what we need. But it's our choice to utilize it and to respond in the way He intends. We must choose to rejoice, to persevere and rejoice. Then God enables us to do it. We do our part and He does His. We cannot do His part. We cannot give ourselves the ability to endure and persevere in a godly way. We cannot do His part, but likewise He will not do our part. He will enable us as we persevere, choose. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. We continually remember before our God and Father your endurance inspired by what?
Hope
in our Lord Jesus Christ. The word endurance is the noun hypomene. So what inspires us to endure according to this verse? Our hope in whom?
Jesus.
Not confidence in ourselves. But our hope in Jesus Christ. Now, the word hope there refers to a confident expectation or anticipation. Hope. It's not a wishful thinking. No, biblical hope is a confident anticipation. This is going to happen, it just hasn't happened yet. That's hope. Because we confidently anticipate good things from the Lord, we choose to endure and persevere. I think it's that simple. Because we confidently anticipate good things from the Lord, we choose to endure and persevere. It's that hope, that confident expectation of good from the Lord, that says, I can do this. I choose to do it. I see that it's worthwhile. And God will enable me to do it, regardless of how severe the circumstances are. I can do all things through Christ. Because through Christ, God now is enabled, God is authorized to give me what I need. Therefore, I can do anything. Because of what Christ has done, God provides everything I need. And in His power, in His strength, in His dunamis, and strength, I can do all things. James 1:3, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. All right, so what develops our perseverance according to this verse? You've already touched on it briefly. The testing of our faith, assuming that we choose to persevere rather than whine. So what is the testing of our faith? We've already touched on it briefly. I suggest that our faith is tested when it seems that God isn't doing what he said. Or our faith is tested when his kingdom principles don't seem to be working for us. Have you ever gone through times when it seemed like the Bible doesn't apply to you? All the statements in there that says if you do this, then this will happen. Or this is how you should be. This is what God is going to cause to happen and so forth. You think, I can see that applying to other people. It doesn't seem to apply to me. Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced that? Mm-hmm. I've gone through extended periods of that. Mm-hmm. But the testing of your faith does what? Develops what? Perseverance, endurance, the ability to stand firm and say, it doesn't look like the Bible is applicable here because it doesn't seem like anything is happening that I would expect, but I choose to stand. And I choose to stand firmly on what I know God's Word says, even if it looks like it's not working. When God has spoken things personally to me, he says, this is what I'm going to do in you, with you, through you. I've been waiting for decades. But I choose to stand. I choose to stand my ground. And having done all to stand, stand. The purpose of the armor of God is to help you to stand and not be blown away by your circumstances. To make progress against opposition and everything that's coming against you. That's the purpose. It's for us to stand, to endure, and to persevere in the face of opposition. The testing of our faith, the test is whether we will keep acting on what we believe. That's the test. Well, some closing thoughts here. Don't wait for the kingdom of heaven to be dropped into your lap. Go after it with everything you have. Make these things the highest priority for you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Persevere until you experience it. As I wrote on the board here, faith makes things possible. We hear a lot about that. However, perseverance makes them happen. Perseverance produces eternal benefits, as we've seen here, not just temporal results. Any questions, comments about what we've talked about so far today before I give you some other questions? All right, first question. How does God's perseverance affect our covenant relationship with him? How does God's perseverance affect our covenant relationship with him?
We can absolutely trust him.
Absolutely. That he will do what he said, right? We can trust him. And we know that he will continue to work for our good. And the ultimate good, according to Romans 8:28 and 29, is our ultimate good is for us to become increasingly like Jesus. So the next question, how is our perseverance related to our activity in the kingdom? How does our perseverance relate to our activity in God's kingdom? Is there anything resisting God's kingdom?
No.
There's a warfare, right?
Right.
Spiritual warfare. The dark kingdom is opposing the light, the kingdom of light. The dark kingdom aggressively opposes God's kingdom. So we must endure the attacks and persevere against the opposition. So this hopomeno or hopomene, the verb and noun, these are very relevant to us in God's kingdom. Third question there. How is perseverance relevant to our interaction with evil spirits?
Stand firm.
Stand firm because what?
Don't
well, they don't give up easily.
No, they don't.
Right? Have you noticed that rebellion is a characteristic of the dark kingdom?
Yes.
That's what started it out, right? I'm going to do it my way.
Right.
So rebellion is characteristic of evil spirits, right? Mm-hmm. They don't like being told what to do.
Right.
So we have authority, spiritual authority, which we are to engage in our kingdom activities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we use our authority over evil spirits, but they're rebellious and refuse to do what we say. So we need to be prepared to persevere. We like to think of instantaneous results. You know, the microwave mentality. You know, push the button once, it's going to happen. No. We're talking about willful beings here who are opposed to what we're trying to accomplish in God's kingdom, or what God is doing in his kingdom, and we're trying to be involved in it. They are opposed to what we are doing. So just the fact that we tell them, you must leave now and stop doing this, doesn't mean they're going to immediately stop doing it. Right? So is perseverance relevant then? Oh, yes. Well, as we've seen, these words have been translated stand firm, endure, stand firm, persevere, stand firm. Don't let the enemy push you back. Stand firm on what? God's principles. God, the truth of what God says. I remind the spiritual realm frequently, God Almighty has told me this, and what He says is true. It's factual.
Right.
And therefore, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to stand on that truth. Stand on what the Bible says. Stand on what God spoke to you. Stand on it. Don't be moved. And having done all to stand, stand. Don't be moved. Concluding thoughts here. Some benefits for enduring and persevering. One is sozo, which is salvation, deliverance, or protection. That's a benefit of persevering. We will reign with Christ, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Persevering proves our faith is genuine. I continue to persevere because I continue to have faith. If I stopped having faith, am I going to persevere? No. So by persevering, I'm demonstrating that my faith is genuine. It develops our character for maturity and completeness, lacking nothing. And we will not receive God's anger on the world system. Those are some pretty good benefits, don't you think?
Yeah.
Thank you. Next week we'll continue to study on a different topic. Look forward to seeing you then.